This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I stand by that, Dennis Cox. Trading for a mediocre quarterback.
I stand by it.
Is not big news. That is not Canes winning game seven. That is not a Hall of Fame retirement. I don't know. We need to get Gold in here and get the official list of things that he missed from being on vacation.
Uh-huh.
And see where Baker Mayfield being traded to the Panthers for a fifth, the conditional fifth-round pick, and I did my research, that could become a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
And very well might, depending on who you think the starter is going to be. I hear some people saying different things about it. We'll talk to Vashti Hurt of Carolina Blitz about it. We'll also ask her for the fan reaction. She has her finger on the pulse there. But first, you know, like when you play a sport, all sports have their own gods, right? This isn't religion.
Are we talking Thor, Love, and Thunder that comes out tonight?
A little bit. Well, I was thinking, I didn't even know that, but great tie-in.
Yep.
This is like Greek or Egyptian model gods where you got lots of gods and somebody is the god of something. Roman gods, the god of something, right?
Like Moon Knight.
In that tradition, there are sports gods. There are the soccer gods, the baseball gods, the golf gods, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And the golf gods do things like, let's say you should have, you had a 4-foot putt and you could give yourself a gimme because you're playing by yourself and mm-hmm. you don't know, right? And so you don't and you miss it and you're like, you know what? I'm going to put myself down for a par, but you're like, no, that's wrong. The right thing to do is I didn't hit it because I didn't take a gimme. I hit the putt. I missed the putt. And you put down your full score. And on the next hole, it's a par three. And you like stick it close to the hole for an easy birdie. It's because the golf gods smiled on your honesty. Mm-hmm. Right? So same in every sport. And you can also make the golf gods mad. Right? You can either
easily
cheat or do something, mean on the course to another. You can be rude. You can bemoan a shot that you should be happy about, and then the golf gods will be like, oh, really? You think that's a bad shot? Like, well, I'll show you a bad shot, right? So I think I made the weather gods earlier this week when I did my silly little like, oh, I'm going to give you your weather forecast for every day of the rest of the 3 weeks. Basically, here's the rest of July. And it was, wake up, it's hot. If you want to do anything if you want to do anything without sweating, you got to do it before 7 a.m. It's going to be about mid-90s by 2 o'clock. We'll stay that way to 5 o'clock. And 66% chance of storms every afternoon, right? And I stand by that. That is the weather report. But then the weather was like, oh, okay, really? You want to mock us? You think we're unpredictable? How about we just take it up about 4 or 5 degrees hotter than you thought it was going to be? You think 90s is cute?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go triple digits on you?
Yeah.
So yesterday and even today, it's one of those where you just walk outside and it's gross. It's so hot that I took my dogs for a walk and they just didn't.
Like, nah.
They just laid down.
Nothing to do
with that. They're like, this is not like, we better find a better place to use the bathroom than our normal route because that's not going to happen for me. I mean, they just flat out did. It's that hot. It's so hot, when you go inside, you need a jacket for a normal air-conditioned building because it's a, like, 30-degree drop. You walk in and I'm shivering. It is not too cold in this studio. My body is adjusting, and so I have sleeves on because I came in from the outside. It is ridiculously hot. It's so hot, the only thing I could think of is the classic Good Morning Vietnam cuts with the late Robin Williams telling us how hot it is. How hot is it?
Weather out there today is hot and with continued hot and in the afternoon. Tomorrow, chance of continued crappy with a weather front coming down from the north.
Hotter than a snake's behind in a wagon rot. That's, yes. It's the weather out there today is hot and that's what it's going to be. But we got sports to talk about, and we got a new quarterback in town. So let's get this thing out of the gate.
They're off.
You heard it in the open. We will talk to Vashti about it in about 10 minutes. But yes, the Carolina Panthers traded for Baker Mayfield, the trade that at one point neither one of them was interested in and wanted everyone to know it. Then we've known for a long time they were actually kind of interested, and it seemed like the big thing to work out was who's going to pay the money. They finally worked it out. It's a fifth-round pick, but it is conditional. Could be turned into a fourth-round pick based on how much Baker Mayfield is going to play. And that, to me, has been the question. How much is Baker going to play? Yesterday, we had Travis Hancock from WFNZ down in Charlotte, and he said, no, absolutely. If you make this trade, you bring Baker Mayfield in to be the starter. He's the starter week one, which happens to be against the Cleveland Browns, right? Well, then I was watching a little ESPN, and I saw Jeff Saturday say, hey, man, it's all about the money. You got one guy making, I know what his total salary added up is. Basically, one guy that the Panthers are paying $6 million. That's Baker Mayfield. They're paying, what, five?
Just under five, yeah.
Under five of his salary? My bad. Even less. So, yeah, his salary dropped. Panthers are paying a little bit less than $5 million of his salary. And they're paying 18 or 19 or something like that to Sam Darnold. And Jeff Saturday was like, no, man, the dude you're paying more money to is your starting quarterback, at least to start the season. And I was like, I didn't see it like that. What did Vegas say right now? Baker Mayfield, minus 300 as the Panthers starter. That might come back up in place your bets.
Okay.
Sam Darnold at plus 200. As the Panthers starter. So a pretty not an overwhelming favorite, but a pretty significant favorite for Baker Mayfield to be the starter. I do think it's fair to look at Baker Mayfield's stats, but much like we, you know, hyper-examined Cam Newton in his last good season, what was it, 2018?
Yeah.
If you go look, his pre-injury stats are not only good, but like great to excellent. And then it's the question of, well, what would you rather a guy do? Immediately pack it in when he's hurt and his team is still in playoff contention, or try to play through it, adjust his game, or whatever? I don't know what the right answer is, but at the time, Cam Newton tried to play through it, wasn't good, and his stats got bad. That sounds kind of familiar to Baker Mayfield. Like, two seasons ago, really good stats. And I don't know all the details of exactly when he hurt his shoulder last year, but I know that, like, he was dealing with a shoulder injury during the year.
It was early in the year.
And was, like, it's kind of the, what route do you go? Do you sit out and hope the team will still be good? Do you tough it out? And I think, and I don't know what his health status is. Did we get the pending physical status? Is the physical still pending?
Yes, it is pending physical.
He is still pending physical. The physical is still pending. But, yeah, so I assume that Baker Mayfield, if healthy, is the better quarterback and the better option. The interesting thing, shout out to my man Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, who dropped by the show yesterday and sent me this. He sent me the odds. This is just one place, sportsbetting.ag, that adjusted its futures. Okay, before the Mayfield trade, Panthers to win the Super Bowl were 125-1. To win the NFC, they were 50-1. And to win the NFC South, they were 10-1. After the Baker Mayfield trade, they were 130-1 to win the Super Bowl, up from 125 to 130.
So their odds got worse?
60-1 to win the NFC as opposed to 50-1. And 11-1 to win the NFC South. And I was trying to figure out, how is that? I was asking Chip, I was like, is it possible that, much like Dennis Cox on Place Your Bets, people were jumping on the what then was a better value line because it was about to go, you know, the odds were about to get worse for the Panthers. I mean, better for the Panthers to win, worse in terms if you want value than betting, right?
Yeah.
It depends on what you're talking about. And then so that the money came in, the line adjusted, and he was like, nah, probably not. It's more of a little, you know, the classic cliche. If you got two quarterbacks, you got none. Now, I know there's not going to be a plan. Well, who knows? Who would put anything past college coach Matt Rhule but to run out two quarterbacks? Although, oddly enough, that two-quarterback system that we ran with P.J. Walker and Cam Newton this year, with the one game where they really looked good, Cam's first one back, I was like, why didn't we keep doing that? We know that Cam doesn't know the playbook, but we also know he's the best yardage guy. Like, why? Anyway, whatever. That's the past. I don't think Matt Rhule will try to play both quarterbacks at the same time, but God help him if he does. But even still, it seems like the odds makers are going with the, well, if you got two quarterbacks, that could be a problem. Whereas if the team unites and says, well, no matter how good Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield are, if the team thinks or if the team believes them as the starter and follows them, and then good things happen to start early on, then maybe that could manifest into a good season. But if you got two guys fighting it out in camp, you know, a short trigger when one of them has a bad half, is the other one going to get put in? That type of thing. Maybe it makes the team even worse. I don't know. Again, we'll talk to Vashti about that. Keyshawn Johnson of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on the mornings, in the mornings, whatever they call it. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Key J. Max. I always like that. Key J. Max. He said the Panthers got the better end of the deal.
Carolina Panthers certainly got the best of this. Right, they get a free look. They pay $4 million for a basic backup-type quarterback. If he beats out Sam, he's a starter. If he doesn't beat out Sam, Sam's a starter. He's the backup, and that's the way it goes. So, you know, Cleveland knew at some point Baker Mayfield as a player wanted to get back on the football field to show his worth, and he would certainly take a pay cut to be able to do that. And I think that is what got the deal done. I just thought if he'd have did it, Seattle was just seemed like a better destination for me, given the fact that the head coach in Seattle, and Pete Carroll is the one who's actually running the operation.
Next up on Getting Out the Gate, the Canes schedule is out. That's right. The Carolina Hurricanes have a schedule. Rod Brindamore will join us in about 20, 25 minutes. We'll ask him if he cares about the schedule. I have a hunch that he does. Do you care about the schedule release, Dennis Cox?
I do.
Well, I do. You have to work the games.
I have to work all 82 games in some capacity, and sometimes in more ways than one, depending on who's broadcasting.
So, yes,
the game.
You are one of the people that the schedule matters a lot to.
Yes.
If you were just a fan, would you care about it?
As a fan, not particularly as a fan. I mean, if I had season tickets, you know, I got the 11-game package,
right,
and I got to pick my games, then yes, I would care because there are. Yeah, you got to work around your daily life schedule. But otherwise, you know, it's not a big thing. It's 82 games over, you know, what, 185 days,
yep,
whatever it may be. But I'm already circling games on the calendar.
All right, what are we circling? Game one, we kick off, looks like, with the Florida Panthers, or is that still an exhibition?
That's an exhibition game. It's actually going to be
my bad.
It's a Wednesday home game against the Columbus Blue
Jackets.
There it
is. I see the star on that one.
Yes.
October 12th. We open the season against the Columbus Blue Jackets at home.
And then they immediately go out west.
Isn't that the classic? Like,
yes.
They give us one home game as a crumb, then it's, sorry, the fair's in town, the parking is terrible, we'll be on the road.
Yes.
Five games on the road.
Can't wait for that 10:30 start time in San Jose.
I see clusters of red, meaning home games in, like, February. Looks like a lot of home games in February. A lot of home games in January. A lot of games in general in January. But yes, what other dates are you circling?
Well, certainly February 18th, the outdoor game at Carter-Finley.
Yes.
That is a big one. And then the first time the Rangers actually come to PNC Arena.
You know what? I'm calling in a favor even before that game even starts.
Okay.
I need you to get me tickets somehow.
To what?
To the outdoor game.
The
it's going to be
game?
A tough ticket. And I know, like, you'll be intimately involved with the team, and I just need you to help me out with that. Okay. I'll be like.
What do I get out of it?
Trust me, I'm a good person to have OU favors, okay? If I haven't done you favors already, I will. So just trust me on this. But like, I could be your cord guy for that game. Like, I'll be your headphone dude or whatever. Like, give me a credential and I'll be your production assistant. But just I'm gonna need your help getting in that game.
Okay, you're gonna run the board for me.
Yeah, well, no, because if I'm running the board there.
Yeah, there.
Yeah,
yes.
Just not running the board back here.
No,
I don't
want to
work the game unless I'm in the game.
Okay.
Actually, but working the game, working the board, and maybe a little too much. You might like need me there, you know, under the last 4 minutes of the period. I need like a no-show job, like carrying equipment in. I can do that.
Okay.
But for the game, I need to be able to drink beers and just do
whatever.
Well,
you got
to
carry the equipment out of the game, though.
I can do that. Okay. I'll be in good enough shape to drink beers after the game.
Okay.
Unless there's a fight that compels me to get on the ice, Carter-Finley. Could be wild. I know it won't happen, but it would be crazy if they honored, like, NC State football season ticket for this. Like, gave them like a Thursday night Clemson top 10 matchup, NC State crowd. Got, you know, the dude on the pole with waving his shirt over his head.
Mm-hmm.
People going to the bathroom in the stands because they don't want to take go to the breaks. All the great stories of Carter-Finley lore we need to go down. At the outdoor game. That's what I want. Check out the schedule. Next up, And we'll talk to Vax Die Hurt here in just a minute. But next up on Getting Out the Gate is nobody left the ACC.
What?
Yes. Look, I told you people, it's not going to happen immediately. We're still waiting to see what shakes out with the Big 12 and the Pac-12. People are posturing. People are making deals, including there is discussion. Again, remember, as the soap opera unfolds that is conference realignment, the newest thing that involves the ACC, we said yesterday the Pac-12 is opening their negotiations for media rights immediately, right? So they can try and get a number to their teams and say what the distribution will be. So they're all in talks trying to figure out their media deal, and that media deal could include a deal with the ACC to share some programming. We'll talk some more about that a little bit later. But right now, we want to go to Charlotte and one of the hardest working people in the North Carolina sports scene and one of our favorite. It is Vax Die Hurt from Carolina Blitz. Vax Die, what's going on?
Hey, Hayes, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for joining me. And we're obviously talking Baker Mayfield. We'll get to some X's and O's on the football field stuff. Oh, look, and you're on the screen. I'm turning my focus here. So we got this high-tech studio in here now. Have you been in here recently?
I have not. I got to make a trip up there during one of these upcoming college football games.
Yes.
But no, I haven't been in the new studio yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the way you work, you won't have time to chill. Like, you'll be going to another college football game. If you're up here, you'll be covering like three games in one day. So let me start with this. I know you throw out, you know, how is everybody feeling? But so based on your social media feed and just your being in touch with people and talking to the fan base, what's your reaction to the fans' reaction to the trade for Baker Mayfield?
You know, the fans, I think that they were a bit exaggerated. You had some guys who took the news kind of in stride, but I think a lot of people did not like it and had a negative view of the Baker Mayfield trade. I just kind of let people get off, you know, let them go off and say their piece. I don't think it's as bad as people think it is. I actually think it might be better than what people think it will be. The fans weren't happy with it. There were a few who were happy, but the majority of the fans that I saw, their reactions were a bit, you're getting the same thing, the same, sure. The different side of the same coin. But, you know, it may work out for the Panthers.
All right, we got two sides of the coin. Which one does I'm trying to figure out the metaphor. Which side lands face up on the week one starting? I saw some people say, we don't trade for Baker Mayfield unless he's going to be your starter. And I saw some people say, you're paying Sam Darnold all this money. He's the starter until he loses the job. Who do you think who do you think should be the starter? And then who do you think will be the starter?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, neither one of these guys had amazing stats last year. But Rule and Fitterer have said they wanted to create a competition at the quarterback spot. And that's what they've done with two guys drafted first and third in the 2018 draft and who feel like they, you know, they've been disrespected. If I had to pick a week one starter today, I would say Baker Mayfield. I think that he will probably bring more of an edge to the team than Sam Darnold, who seems to be a bit dry. So I think that his attitude may align more with Coach Rule and the coaching staff that he's put together this season. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, it should be a very interesting training camp.
You never know exactly who's calling the shots 100%. Obviously, right. Dave Tepper has seen, you know, he's fired a soccer coach. He's pulled out of a construction job. So we know he pulls some strings some places. But you don't know if Matt Rule is saying, get me this quarterback, or if Scott Fitter is the one who's saying, let's go Baker Mayfield. But are you of the mind of if things don't work out well this season with Baker Mayfield, that the Matt Rule era is done in Carolina?
I think Matt Rule is on the hot seat. Historically, he has seen a turnaround in year three. I think it's important to note that was in college. We've heard that David Tepper, you know, would allow Matt Rule 5 years, but with at least four failed quarterbacks. I'm not going to include Cam Newton in that, But with three failed quarterback experiments, you know, I feel like he is on the hot seat. David Tepper, although, you know, people have his gripes with him, he does want to win, and he's still a businessman, and winning is lucrative. And so if you don't have a winning product on the field, then you're not maximizing his investment. I'm speaking in his terms. So, you know, if your coach is not putting together a winning product, I think he's going to have to look another direction. But in all fairness, I do think Matt Rhule deserves another season to try to get things back on track. So we'll see what happens this year.
Vasha, I heard Carolina Blitz joining us. An interesting thing and discussion I was having with somebody, regardless of who the starter is, which one is better, Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, that the having two of them that you know both believe they probably could be starters could be a problem in and of itself, where either it doesn't matter which one's better. If you only had one of them and the team said, okay, this is our quarterback, then that would be an okay situation or a preferred situation to whoever goes out there as starter. If they have a bad first half, are you automatically looking to the other guy that's on the bench? Whereas if it's either one of them and the other one's not there, you have a bad first half and you wait it out and you win the game in the second half and all of a sudden things look better. So the bottom line, I'm asking you, because I thought I heard this in your first answer, but I was more comparing the two quarterbacks. But let me just ask you, did the Panthers get better by adding Baker Mayfield?
I wouldn't say that they got better by adding Baker Mayfield. I feel like, you know, I think that the front office and coaching staff feel like the competition will bring out the best in either player, and then they'll pick the best guy for this team. But, you know, I can't see that they got considerably better. The only difference between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold is attitude. And attitude is important. I do think Sam Darnold's confidence is shot, and I think that Baker Mayfield's confidence is unwavering. So, you know, that might be the small thing that puts one over the other. But, you know, does the addition of Baker Mayfield automatically make Carolina a playoff team, which is where I feel like they need to be in order to solidify Matt Rhule's job? No.
Vashti Hurd, Carolina Blitz. Thank you. And thank you as always for joining us. Keep up the great work. You can follow her on Twitter at Carolina Blitz. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
She's always good. And I agree with her, what she said 100% is, you know, they certainly didn't get considerably better. Perhaps it pushes one of these guys to be better, but I do wonder if there is we've talked to a lot of folks who've played in the NFL, and we'll tell stories of dudes who are starting quarterbacks, even ones who are like Hall of Fame level and nobody's questioning their job. They still didn't want a like too good of a backup.
Yeah.
They wanted everyone in the room to say, this is our guy. No matter what, if we lose two games in a row because this guy's terrible, we don't care. This is still the guy we believe in for 16 games. Mm-hmm. Because they need that level of like support to pull off their job. Right.
I was like Peyton Manning, never let the backup never. Take reps in practice.
And
nothing.
He's one of the guys we're talking about. He didn't even want there to be a good quarterback. Sean King was the guy who told us Sean King had played, been the starter for the Buccaneers. I think he got hurt, and Brad Johnson ended up winning the Super Bowl with them. But so when he was going to potentially sign with the Colts, Peyton Manning was like, "Nah, I don't want a dude that's like started 10 games in an NFL season as my backup. Like, I don't need that." And so it just makes you wonder: will there be, you know, if you start making a switch, and definitely if you make a switch back, it's like, dude, mentally, even if you are getting slightly better play out of one of them than the other, it's like the mental exhaustion of trying to be like, which mediocre quarterback is slightly better or ups our chances a little bit. Or again, if somebody throws two interceptions in a quarter, are they out for a series? Like, I just, that ain't going to work. Whoever it's going to be, they better decide who it is and stick with it. Free agency, trades, and we've already had the NFL draft, so it is off-season talk for the NFL.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk 2023 NFL draft.
No, we could. We could not. We could not.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda.
Welcome back to the Adam Gold Show. Hayes Permar filling in. Joining us now, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, the Metro Division champs. He was the 2021 Jack Adams winner. 4 years as the head coach of the Hurricanes, 4 years in the playoffs, three of those 4 years advancing past the first round. He is Rod Brind'Amour. Coach, I know that you are a North Carolinian. You're committed to here. You've even got a 919 phone number. I won't give it out any more digits than that. But the true test, I know a lot of you hockey players come to North Carolina, you move here, but in the summers, you're going back to other parts. Where does Rod Brind'Amour spend his summers when he's not obviously planning for the NHL draft?
At the PNC Arena. How's that?
I believe that.
How's that for excitement?
I know
you're actually at the I'm at the practice rink every day, so that's. I'm going to the beach, though, soon. My family's down there, so I got to spend some time down there.
At a North Carolina beach?
Yeah, Wrightsville Beach. We love it down there. My
there we go.
Family lives down there, so we're 2 hour drive. You can't beat it.
There we go. All right, the schedule was released yesterday. Do you care about the schedule as the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah, I'm actually going in a meeting now to try to figure out the travel for it and the hotel, all the stuff that, you know, the little things that nobody cares about. But yeah, I mean, it's out. I'm not really pumped. We got a lot of road, like, too much time on the road. I don't like that, where there's games days off in between the road games. I hate that. So it is what it is. At the end of the day, we got 82 games in 183 days, so everyone's got the same thing.
41 at home, 41 on the road. What's an ideal schedule? I heard one thing you say there was too much time on the road in between games. Yeah. That makes sense,
right?
Where, like, you're not doing anything. Yeah. You'd rather be at home.
Right.
What's an ideal schedule?
Well, I love it when we go on a California trip and you play 3 and 4 days. You play, you know, San Jose, Anaheim, LA, and you do it quickly, not how we're doing it. We fly to San Jose all the way from here and then fly to Seattle and then up to Canada. Like, it's stupid. And then you have 2 days in between games. That's not good. You know, too much time on the road just wears you out. That's kind of been my theory. So I like to just kind of crunch them in and then have more time at home on the road or at home.
Interesting.
You know, during the schedule.
Do you have any obviously this year's schedule is set. There's no changing that. Is that one of the things you say to the league, or you ask the representatives from the Hurricanes to say, hey, could you make this request for us?
I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, everyone's going to complain a little bit about stuff, but I don't have anyone to correct to except you, so that's why I just did it.
That sounds good.
So, got it off my chest, so that's good.
We'll take it. You can only hear Rod Brind'Amour complaining about the schedule on this here program. The NHL draft starts tonight officially, though as of right now, the Canes don't have a first-round pick for tonight. What do you recall about being drafted 9th overall by the Blues back in 1988? Yeah. What do you remember about it?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I mean, I'll try to quick it up, but I wasn't really rated that high going into it. I think I was 21st, you know, and so when you go to the draft, they pick the top 10 guys and they give them the front row seats, you know.
I mean,
you notice that. Everyone knows they're getting picked, so they wanted the cameras know where they are, blah, 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 and they can get there. Well, when I got my seat at the draft, I was literally behind the board, so I couldn't even see what was going on, and they called my name 9th. No, the cameras, they couldn't find me because I was coming in from behind the board trying to come around to get to the stage. So kind of interesting. I remember that. But it was, you know, it's an exciting time for sure. Something you always remember, kind of kick starts the next phase of your life.
Do you remember what you wore to the draft in 1988?
Yeah, I do. I was at a high school in Canada, like a private school. So I wasn't at home. And I didn't have a suit, So I borrowed all of my buddy's clothes, and, you know, I was mismatched and everything else. But, you know, at the end of the day, you remember putting the jersey on. That's all everybody remembers.
Yep. And now you're on the other side of it. The Canes PR department, social media, they do a great job getting these moments out. So we've seen some of them over the years. But what's it like being a coach and calling, you know, maybe a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid and saying, hey, you're in the NHL right now? What's that like?
Well, the fun part is really, in a normal year where we know we're picking a first rounder, we do a lot of interviews with the top kids, and, you know, you get to kind of spend a little time with them, and, you know, the one guy you get, you kind of have you do have some sort of relationship with, and you just know how exciting it is, not just for the athlete, but for the families, because, man, hockey, it's a grind for the families all the way through. Yep. And, you know, they're with their son, you know, the whole time growing up. And it's a special moment for really just the whole family. And that's what you're kind of excited for, to see that.
Ed, do you have any memorable moments of, like, somebody thinking they're getting prank called? Or do you have a call that you remember particularly, or somebody being extra happy or not happy enough that they were getting the call from Rod Brindamore?
No, you're never – I mean, listen – whether you're picked in the top or even if you get picked late, like, it's still excitement, yeah. Right? You're still just, it's kind of like all the years of minor hockey, you know, when you get your name called, no matter where it is, no matter who it is, it's an exciting time just to know, okay, that part of my phase has kind of paid off. I've been noticed, and now I got to jumpstart the next phase.
As I mentioned earlier, Rod Brindamore joining us, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. Barring a trade, this will be 2 years in a row without a first-round draft pick. Is that a reflection of having a young, deep team and not needing as much, you know, immediate talent? Or is it kind of just happenstance, you've made moves that you wanted at the time, and those have resulted in back-to-back years without a draft pick?
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, what it says is, you know, they're not as important because you're drafting late, right? And yep. You don't see teams really moving out if you're in a lottery pick stage. Like, you know, that those are the game-changing type players that you count on. So when you're picking 30th and down in the list, you're kind of a little more apt to, you know, move those four assets to win now, so to speak. And obviously we're in a phase where we love our team. We love our young players. And, you know, we're all in to try to win. So I think, you know, you're definitely building always for the future. But we gotta play for right now.
How easy is it to find Jacob Slavens in the fourth round when you guys have, like, lots of pick later in the draft?
Well, they're real easy, right? Because they're everywhere. It's, you know what, that's to the theory what we do real well in our draft. If you notice over the last couple of years, I think, too, is we trade up or down, however you want to look at it, sure. To get more picks.
Yep.
And there's more darts at the dartboard. And because there are these kids out there that are late bloomers or, you know, kids that don't necessarily shine as a 17-year-old, you know, but yep. They, man, wait till you see them when they're 21. And if we can have more, you know, picks and more kids in the system, you know, maybe you do find another Jacob Slavin.
I like that philosophy. Rod Brindamore joining us. The other thing that comes up next week after the NHL draft is free agency. Obviously, a lot of decisions to be made. I'm not going to ask you about what decisions will be made because we don't know. But I do have a question. In the exit interview, you joked, hey, I want all the guys back. Don is the one that has to figure it all out. And there does seem to be a healthy, balanced relationship between, you know, you coaching the team on the ice and the folks who pick the players and stuff. But obviously, there is collaboration on everything. How does it work in free agency? Do you do your research and give Don Waddell a piece of paper that says, here are my priorities or, you know, rankings, and then trust him to make decisions? Or is it ongoing conversations as free agency goes on?
It's ongoing, and you left out somebody.
Yeah, there's another guy, yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, he's the one that really running the whole show. So, yeah, it's collaborative. I mean, I was literally on the phone with all three of them before, or all two of them before we got on here. So sure. It's constant. You know, they also know, you know, I'm a little biased because I love the guys.
Right.
They have to kind of, you know, back up a little on that because at the end of the day, they're it's their checkbook and it has to balance. And, you know, I just can't just say I want all of them back. That's the easy thing. It doesn't balance and it doesn't work. So at the end of the day, too, the players all, you know, they all want to be here and they love it here, but guess what they want too? And yep. It doesn't all fit. You know, they got agents that push them and they're trying to get the max that they can get. And So it's a little bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a mess, to be quite honest with you. But we certainly are hopeful that we can get the majority of the guys back that we had.
Do you enjoy this part of the job? It's something that you didn't really have to deal with as a player. You play the season, and then you can work out as you see fit and show up, obviously, when there are team activities. Do you like this part? I'm not asking you if you want to be a GM or anything, but do you find the drafting and the free agency part interesting? Or are you kind of like...
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you love it because that's how you build your team, you know, and it's actually the most important thing, to be quite honest with you. I mean, we can have the best coaching staff, we can have all this, but if we don't have the players, it doesn't really matter. So it's all about getting the best people. We always talk about that, and then trying to keep them. And that's where, you know, that's where it gets really complicated. And that's the part I don't like. You know, I don't enjoy this part where it gets, you know, it does get tough. But hopefully, like I said, you get through this, get by come August time, we're going to know what our group is, and we're all, you know, all in doing the, you know, going for be the best team out there.
Last question for Rod Brendamore, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. I was reading another piece about Tim Gleason and his first, you know, year of coaching with the team. And he talked about when he came to the team as a player, that you didn't talk to him for 3 months, that you were kind of cold and frosty, and said something about, well, you didn't want to waste time getting to know somebody until you knew what they were about. I imagine that's not how you operate as a coach. You'll have, like I said, new drafted players in camp. You'll have free agents that sign with you. Do you have a special way to welcome folks to the team? A lot of times it might be a guy that's traded midseason and you got to just get off and going. But how do you welcome a guy to the Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, times have changed, and Gleason's being a little overdramatic. I don't think it was 3 months. It might have been, you know, 3 weeks for sure. I don't want to, you know, make sure he earned his way before, you know, we opened arms there. But that's kind of how we operated as a group back then as players. You know, but now as a coach, obviously it's different. You're immediately, you know, talking with the players. You want to make sure they feel comfortable coming into the room, and then once they're in the room, that's up to the players how they handle that. I mean, they got to fit in by earning their keep, so that takes time. You know, but for me, we obviously, you know, if we brought them in, there's a reason, and we like them, and we got to make sure they feel comfortable.
Rod Brendamore, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. Good luck on a great draft and a great free agency. Adam Gold gets to talk to you all the time. I don't get to talk to you as much, so I'd like to take the chances to remind you you have had an incredible...
How do we change that up?
I don't know. I'll work on this, but I'll be forwarding this to the bosses to show that you're in on it as well. No, obviously Gold's great, but I do like to take
I love Adam. I love Adam. But listen, you know, a change up every once in a while is good.
That's right. That's right. You got to, just like, you know, you got to change up the line sometime, you know. But no, I got to finish with, and notice I got the plug of endorsement from Rod Brendamore before I showered this piece of praise. I grew up here in North Carolina, Rod. I'm a Raleigh native, and I know that you. You know when you sign autographs and you see the kid smile, or you make the crowd go wild with a big win, or you see the fist bumps, or you see the locker room at the NC State ice hockey, you know, light up when you go in there and you do all these things. So I know that you have some idea of your impact, but I am telling you, you do not know the full extent of the impact and what you've meant to this sports market around here, obviously hockey in particular, but just as the person, the way you carry yourself, the way you talk, and obviously the way you freaking win, man. You are a legend, and you mean a lot, not just to, I know you mean a lot in the hockey world, but you are going to go down as a North Carolina and Raleigh legend, and as a Raleigh boy, I just appreciate everything you do, man. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And now let's just gas Adam all together. There's no reason not. I think you take over full time.
All right. Well, I'll say that every time I talk to you, man. Thank you so much. All right, and have a fun draft.
Take care.
He is the best, and he is – I mean, my legends growing up were the Jim Valvano, Mike Krzyzewski, Dean Smith, Roy Williams added to that later in ACC history. Guys like Cam Newton have been added to it. But, man, there are not going to be many people when it's all said and done that you're going to place in the – you know, I hate doing the – it's summer, so we could do Mount Rushmores, right? But by the time he is done coaching hockey, the Mount Rushmore of sports in North Carolina is going to include Rod Brendamore. And the impact in this area specifically where I am, Raleigh, it's just amazing. He carries himself like an incredible – it's a crazy situation where he might be one of the best coaches in the NHL – and he truly might not want to coach anywhere else. Like, no money, no job. No, I mean, I'm sure if you dazzle him with, you know, an all-star four lines of just, you know, 20 goal scorers every year. And he's like, okay, we're definitely going to win the cup. I might have to take it. But, man, it is just a perfect fit of coach and player. And there's not much like it in sports. So he's awesome.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. I wanted to get Aaron Rodgers' tattoo, but it sounds like we're just not even going to be able to wait on this other. I will get to his tattoo, but it's happening. Everything that happens in conference realignment is now happening again. It's major surprising moves, and then it's rumors flying. Back in the day, it was message board talk.
Ah, yes.
Now, most message boards still exist. But we've mostly...
It's called Twitter.
Left actual message boards still exist.
I know.
We've left them behind as, like, thankfully, sources of actual news. No, rarely does somebody come and be like, heard this on a message board, because the same people that like to get message board clout back in the day can find that clout now in other places in social media. And thus, we get a report, and I'm not knocking anybody who, you know, fell for it, or now there are people driving around who are going to see this tweet texted to them, especially if they're not on Twitter, or a screenshot. So I'm going to tell you what it says, but I'm going to say before and after that I do not believe this is a credible report. It is just the report that is stirring up the rumor mill right now. The guy's name is Braden Keith, and importantly, he has got a blue check mark next to his name, which instantly tells people, oh, whatever this guy says must be true.
How much did he pay for it?
Not the case. So he says North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia are all negotiated to join the SEC. ESPN is trying to avoid their TV deal with the ACC. The way he wrote it reads the way a credible reporter might write a credible report. The blue check mark signifies that it might just be a credible report. And based in the context of other news we've heard in the past week and discussions we've heard, it seems like it could be a credible report. Let's dig a little bit deeper, Dennis Cox. Here we go. Because again, I know there's somebody driving around that is having this texted to them or sent to them, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, is this it? And you can look at the retweets, and people are like, that's it, ACC's done, ACC's done. The author of the tweet that is now causing the most recent rounds of rumblings and rumors is a guy named Braden Keith, who in his bio, there's a picture of a pool, and it says he is the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Swim Swam News. So we head over to swimswam.com. Where I see nothing. I see a FINA issues statement addressing alleged world championships drugging incident. I see 2022 European Junior Championships. I see Stancu cracks Romanian 1500 free record. I see very little in the way of college sports reporting from this Braden Keith over at swimswamnews.com. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. It's just swimswam.com. The Twitter account is at SwimSwamNews. I want to be accurate about reporting. So it looks like this would be a great report if it were about swimming. It would be that much more credible, that much more blue. Pepperdine Women's Swim and Dive announces 2022-2023 recruiting class. I'll bet every bit of that article is accurate and true. However, for now, I'm going to maintain just a healthy bit of skepticism on the report from the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Swim Swam News at swimswam.com. I'm not going to do the, like, mocking people for not, you know, doing their due diligence and checking stuff. I get it. We live in 2022. People see information they want to believe and they run with it. Maybe the AC, we've talked about the ACC's troubles and where they stand as far as the competition. Maybe the ACC in a few years from now, as we know it, might dissolve. But it ain't happening this week.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.